There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Toby sounds like a minor league baseball announcer.
Toby, that's what I'm after.
Yeah,
blowing that Nintendo cartridge.
All right.
Plug it back in and it works.
I don't know what the fuck's going
Have
on.
Have we figured out why that worked over the years?
Well, on the cartridge, it's a great question.
On the Nintendo cartridge, that's a good question. We got to find out.
There is actually an Ancient Aliens episode. It's called Aliens and the Video Game Conundrum. It's like season, I want to say, 12. Yeah.
Since the dawn of 2009, one TV show has dared to ask the most important questions about the origins of our world. That show is Ancient Aliens.
Yet until now, no one has asked the biggest question of all. Is Ancient Aliens total bullshit?
And that's what our show's about. Finding the truth under the nonsense of one of television's most popular franchises.
This is...
The more like Ancient Aliens.
Well, but but otherwise, it's great.
More like Ancient Aliens.
Yeah.
Right on.
Or more like Ancient Aliens. You think so? But
Yeah.
I think we'll probably run with all three of these.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay.
We don't have to choose.
We don't have to choose.
Yeah. And the thing about it, just like the various takes that you just did with the name of the show, is this episode we're about to get into says there doesn't just have to be one kind of alien. There's a lot of aliens that could be influencing human development.
There's a lot, and that was some new conceptualness for me in the alien side of it, but I could dig it. I could dig it. Right. I don't know, it got into Star Wars a little bit. I didn't know about the Star Wars aspect of the situation.
Yeah. Well,
they
got a pretty good CG budget. Yes, this is the show that you named. My name for the show is Brandon R. Reynolds. I'm a journalist, everybody, who studies how many different ways you can genetically engineer a human-alien hybrid.
And I'm still Toby Ball, host of Strange Arrivals, a UFO podcast.
That's right. Today we're looking at the episode called The Reptilian Agenda, which is episode 8 of season 14, which is not to be confused with the extremely similar The Reptilians from season 8. Incidentally, I almost did that one, but it was more about like the science of reptilians than not so much their agenda, which I figure would be more
interesting.
Yeah.
The agenda's the important part.
The agenda
and
is.
And really, this only just scratched the surface of the agenda.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. This episode aired relatively recently because it was the 14th season, airing July 26, 2019, a pre-pandemic episode, as most of them are, but it felt like it was a little bit fresher. We have a guest today. Toby, we have a guest. His name is Dante Bosco. He has introduced us many times just today. Hi, Dante.
How you doing? I jumped in there early because I was so excited about the reptilian agenda, I've heard many times before the actual viewing of this episode, but... I'm an actor, filmmaker, but also ancient alien. I don't know if I never thought of them as ancient aliens, but other histories that we are not readily taught in regular school.
Yeah, conspiracy adjacent. What you say?
I mean, conspiracy adjacent, possibly. I wouldn't say conspiracy. I would say a seer of other possibilities.
Toby, have you met any seers of other possibilities in your explorations?
More times than I can count, yeah.
Great.
It's a lot of possibilities, a lot of seers.
All right. So the reptilian agenda. Why are we talking about the reptilian agenda? I think most importantly, heretofore we've talked about like the generic ancient alien, the kind of platonic ideal of the ancient alien. Like ancient aliens is a group, you know, they're just out there and they're...
Right.
They're all doing their thing, which is sort of, if you think about it, a little insensitive. So this is the episode, the first time we're really going to start drilling down on the different types of ancient aliens that ancient astronaut theorists, they might have visited the Earth. And of course, not only are they visiting, they're not just vacationers, but of course, they could have gone to war over our precious DNA.
I was really ready for just like dive into the reptilian thing, but then the knowing of the Greys and the, what was the other one? There was three.
Nordics.
The Greys.
Nordics.
The Nordics.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about the, what's the Nordics? What were the Nordics? Who were the Nordics?
Toby's ancestors, mostly, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like the Lord of the Ring guys? The Lord of the Ring guys?
They're like, yeah, they're like kind of tall, blonde, sort of hippie-ish. You know, they're usually preaching love.
We're already taking that out. That's already X-ing out the concept of some old humanoid that looks like Vikings in Intergalactic.
Well.
Yeah, so this goes back to like the 50s. Like the even before like UFOs were taken seriously.
No, even older than that.
But that was, his face?
Amazing Stories. Yeah. Ray Palmer.
Yeah. So anyway, but there were guys who, like, in the early days were like...
The Nordic guys were the astronauts of their day. The Nordic, the Vikings were the astronauts their day.
Yeah.
For sure. 100%. So I could see where that comes from.
It was a bit of a white-oriented thing. They said, well, if we're going to see aliens, who are these advanced beings? What are they going to look like? They're going to look like bigger versions.
Yeah. We're ourselves.
Blonde, beautiful. And then women were often,
Yeah.
Look like Heidi Klum with a silver space suit.
I mean, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is awesome. I like it. And then the Greys are our big eye alien, like the alien guys in the desert. Like the little dudes.
It's a classic.
Those are the Greys.
Yeah. That's more of a, they started coming around in the
energy beams. And then the reptilian, which
Reptilians turns out been with this for a while.
There's some things. I mean, we're gonna get into it. I mean, I like some of the things that they talked about. I think there's some things they didn't dive into enough or talked about within our psyche.
Yeah,
I think that's the first time we've heard that on this show that they could have gone deeper.
Gone deeper.
Oh, a lot deeper. There's a lot deeper. There's actually a book. I don't know if you guys are aware of it. There's a book called The Reptilian Agenda. It's a very thick book.
And have you read this book?
I have read excerpts of this book. Actually, a good friend of mine, shout out to my boy Adam G. He got me, put me onto some reptilian agenda back in the, I would say, late 90s, early aughts. Matter of fact, we ran into Will I Am from the Black Eyed Peas one time, who's a old friend of the Peas, and guess what book was in his hand one time.
Reptilian Agenda?
The Reptilian Agenda.
Black Eyed Peas are a plugged in the...
Very thick book.
Okay.
Well, because there's... I mean, this goes into the conspiracy of the Reptilian Agenda thing where there's a lot of people within power and fame that are somewhat reptilian. I mean, in full disclosure, I've delved into it a little bit. I've met and talked with certain people, psychics that have said they've met reptilian people.
Sure.
Reptilians have revealed themselves,
exposed themselves
in moments, exposed nudity. Themselves
scaly
nudity. I mean there's things that come across my across my TikTok page about certain celebrity eyes and interviews go into like a reptilian go from circle to like reptilian for a second and then they edge out. So I mean, I get where people are coming from, but I do subscribe to I like the concept of certain aspects of it. New thing to me at the beginning of the episode, the doctor, what's his name? Dr.
McCain or McLean.
McLean that got into the triune.
Yeah.
Triune brain.
Paul McLean was a noted neurobiologist who came up with a model called the triune brain, three-part brain. One part of the brain was reptilian, one mammalian, and one primate. Distinct areas of the brain with different functions.
I didn't understand that we had... that was a new thing. I didn't realize that part of the reptilianness in us, possibly, things.
That's a good way to get right into the episode, because it does start with a legitimate scientist, Paul McLean.
Very serious-looking scientist.
Very serious neurobiologist, 1960. And he proposed the triune brain model, which we all know, if we don't know, that's what it's called. We know it. It's like his version was like originally the brain was basically what the reptiles had, which is very basic things that controlled rage and fear. And then the mammalian brain evolved on top of it. And then the human brain, neocortex, and all evolved on that. So the idea that, like, at our base level, we're reptiles, and then somewhere in the middle, mammals, and then primates, and then humans. So, like, it goes into the stacking thing. Very influential, so much so that they name check Carl Sagan, right?
Carl Sagan gave a shout out. He was a young Carl Sagan gave a shout out. Yeah.
Now, he actually, this is one of the few times that they are underselling it, because not only did he give it a shout out, he wrote a whole book about it called The Dragons of Eden, 1977 book, which popularized the Trying Brain Theory. Won a Pulitzer for it.
Pulitzer? Reptilian Agenda Pulitzer?
No, not the Reptilian Agenda, the Trying Brain Theory. Now, 1960 is a long way from here. And unfortunately, in the intervening years, science has marched on and has more or less debunked the idea of the Trying Brain Theory. One guy, Terence Deacon, a PhD expert on the evolution of human cognition at the University of California, Berkeley, calls it a hats on top of hats view. And basically, it's saying, no, it's not as simple as just these layers being stacked on top of layers.
Right.
The reason we know that is because we found out that, for example, birds have language and use tools. That's something we thought was too complex to exist in a bird. So it turns out that the brain is more interweaved from one species to the next. And at our core, Dante, I'm sorry to tell you, but as far as the Trying Brain Theory goes.
No. They debunked it. I saw, however.
Okay.
Remember, however, they said, but there were some reptilian-esque attributes of the brain that they did not realize that we had. Didn't they say something like that in this episode?
Many of our features, like our skin, our teeth, our hair, our nails, as things with backbones, in sort of the grand evolutionary scheme of things, were relatively closely related to modern reptiles.
Is it possible that the most significant advancements in human development didn't evolve from primates, as was proposed by Charles Darwin, but from reptiles?
Humans and reptiles.
They're trying to make the case that was probably like the result of a hybrid program between us and reptiles rather than we evolve beyond like a snake.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily that we have part of a snake brain and then part of a monkey brain and a human brain or whatever. You just say enough words and you throw in lizard brain. And
I don't think it's necessary. I don't think the possibility is not necessarily a brain, but just a genetically modified splice impossibilities.
This is the right show for you, Dante.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
Just a splice.
Unfortunately, no.
Aliens are I'm not really fascinated with aliens, but I get it. I get it. I get why we as humans are fascinated with aliens.
Why do you suppose?
Also, could be, you know, I like the poetry and the poeticness of that. We are the alien that we seek or that we fear. That's why I like the reptilian agenda. Like, oh, we are the alien. That's it. That's when it comes down to. It's always us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like the ending of every ancient astronauts.
Right. You are. I mean, that's the ending of when it comes to the bitter end of all of us.
You think
we'll
that's
going to
be? Yeah.
That's going to be. Oh, we were the one. Oh, yeah. It was you. I was like, oh, God, it was me the whole damn time.
Yeah. The problem, Dante, is that what you're talking about, the beauty of it is that it's a metaphor. And what we have learned as we've been studying these episodes over the last weeks, months, years, who knows how long it's been, is that these folks, the experts, tend to have a tricky relationship with metaphor. They tend to take things literal that should be metaphorical and take things as metaphor that should be literal. So, don't hang your
life.
Yeah.
That's our life with religion and history, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot more metaphor than people want to,
it's safe to do that.
Believe in religion and history.
So
books, you know, a lot more metaphor there.
So, if, for example, the idea that in fact we do in a way evolve from reptiles and have these embryonic qualities, like there's a tail that maybe in very rare cases doesn't fall off.
Fascinating.
That is reality, but you don't need to take that further than it is to say that means we're definitely evolved from reptilian beings. Like the quote says, Is it possible that the most significant advances in human development didn't evolve from primates, per Darwin, but from reptiles? Which is,
I like it.
Well, yeah, but it's also sort of like saying, you know, a Tesla is more closely related to a horse than it is to a Chevrolet. I mean, yeah, we're more, we're still more closely related to primates.
We're definitely close related to primates. But my thing about, and again, it's not exactly the reptilian thing or something or some alien or some kind of outside force influencing us. I mean, we did evolve pretty good. It feels like something helped our evolution along in a way that it was not helped by other animals.
Mm-hmm.
The missing link has not been found because the missing link is the extraterrestrial intervention of our genetic makeup.
This fits perfectly with ancient creation mythologies. That is, that reptilian beings came to Earth and manipulated human DNA and made us in their image.
So I'm like, I could see how people can be like, reptilian or not, someone came in and messed with some of the DNA in a way that other animals were not. Or else, they're possibly by this time could have been a fish-man-ish thing or a bird-man-ish thing or a otter-man-ish thing, but there's only like a monkey-man-ish thing that's happening. So I see how the concept goes, like, well, maybe someone took the, like, what's the best animal that we can have that maybe, that may mirror us, some kind of humanoid-looking alien,
yeah,
and go, these guys look pretty good, or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or it would make sense if there was like a dog mannish thing or not mannish thing, whatever that would
person.
Be higher evolved of any other animal, only this one type of animal. And the other thing is they're still monkeys. They're still there. Like all the chimpanzees that we kind of come from are still here. The other monkeys didn't evolve, just this one monkey. It's very understandable to go like, if we evolved, they're, these other monkeys probably should not be here being just straight monkeys anymore.
Sure.
They should be in different folds of monkeyness.
Yeah.
If it was just a, you know, there's that concept.
Maybe they are.
I can understand
Maybe
that
they
concept.
Are.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Toby, ever thought about why the chimpanzees stalled out in such an embarrassing way?
I don't, did they stall
Where's your
out
Tesla?
Or are they, I'm not an expert on the evolution of chimpanzees.
I think they're still doing it. They just, you know.
Yeah, it's just at a slower pace. It was like these like little breaks that suddenly allowed us to like manipulate things, which caused us to have to think about things like tools in a different way, which helped us sort of, you know, mentally engage a little bit more. And then the people who were better able to do that were the ones who survived. And so over thousands and thousands of years, that's what evolves. So, you know, chimpanzees without the opposable thumbs and the ability to manipulate things the way we do, they don't evolve in the same way. It is kind of interesting that we're so much sort of more evolved in ways that are kind of important to us than like a chimpanzee is from the next rung down the ladder. So like a chimpanzee right. and an orangutan like are probably a lot closer in terms of like what they can do and how they go about their business than us and a chimpanzee or whatever it is that you think is the closest thing to us. So right. we kind of lap the field in a way. They don't bring it up in Ancient Aliens
they
quite
don't.
That I way. Know. I mean, it's just more like...
And there's no other animals on the planet that even match anywhere close to our intelligence in that way. Like, no,
yeah.
you would think in evolution there'd be a lizard type person that was in that realm. I mean, maybe octopuses are, I mean, we don't know if octopuses and dolphins.
We don't know. Dolphins.
Are on a higher level than we can even conceptualize.
Yeah.
There's that. There's definitely that concept. But that's an interesting thing, maybe. But I don't know if that's reptilian, but I can see how the reptilian people are like, it was reptiles that came in. It could have been something, but reptiles, a stretch.
That's the pivot of this episode, right? Most of the episodes are, at some point, aliens interfered with us in the past, whether they bred with us or manipulated our DNA or just taught us how to build pyramids or whatever. It was always some version of that, right? And so this show, this episode takes that, and you know, you saw Giorgio Tsoukalos, the face of this thing with the hair, who comes in and he says the whole thing about they genetically manipulate. But then the twist of this episode is, what if those aliens that did it were reptilian aliens? Okay. And So the hybrids that were created, maybe they were slightly reptilian. But the point is, these guys are always trying to connect humans today with whatever came before. And in this case, they're like, well, if you look at the mythology that's out there, what do we see a lot of? Well, we see a lot of reptiles everywhere, right?
Yes, a lot of dragons. And I've thought about that. It's very fascinating. Every culture has a dragon.
A lot of snakes.
Concept. A lot of snakes, yeah. And dragons.
Yeah. So, you know.
But, I mean, I think there could be, they could have found fossils. I would think they could have found fossils, right? And been like, oh, this is a big dragon head. Yeah. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're saying that they didn't, so maybe they, yeah, you're debunking your own.
Maybe. I can see how they got there.
Yeah.
However, it is fascinating how certain cultures, when we talk about dragons, like, so I used to have a band, right? Me and my brothers had a hip-hop band. In the days of the Wu-Tang Clan and these things, we had a band called the Fly Brown Dragons. So we also... we researched a lot of dragons, talked about dragons. Dragons were a part of our thing. Now, cultures throughout the world, they react to dragons differently. I mean, within the European cultures, very, you know, the lore is to go hunt the dragon, kill the dragon, be scared of the dragon.
Yeah.
In other Asian cultures, Chinese dragons are revered as gods, worship the dragon. They're like a good luck thing for them. And it's fascinating how these dragons, this is where the reptilian thing comes in too. Maybe it's a deep in our psyche thing that is something we fear or aspire
or
to.
Love. You know, it's true that
maybe we're part reptile.
Maybe we're part reptile.
I'm going to bring it back to the episode.
It's not irrelevant what you're saying. It's nutty. No, it's not. It's good. So, you know, they do the thing where they fly along and they just touch on a number of different cultures, right? There's Enki, the god of smithcraft and alchemy. He's credited with fashioning the human body. He's half human, half serpent. We're going to hear a lot about that. There's the Nagas of the Vedic tradition. Of course, there's the Garden of Eden, Mesoamerican cultures. There's all of these serpents everywhere.
The Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden. I forget about that one. And you go, oh, yeah, the Garden of Eden.
Snake in there. Now,
that snake.
Now, you know, the question is asked by one of the guys, I can't now remember, but he says, divine serpents are unusually universal. Sometimes they're poisonous, so you want to watch out for them, etc. Like the Incans and Mayans, they had a lot of snake imagery, a lot of reptile imagery, and they were in the rainforest.
That's the biggest, scariest thing out there. Is like an anaconda or something, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the idea that they would say this is a handy metaphor, or this would be something cool to carve on the temple.
Well, again, you know, I'm Filipino. I'm a good Catholic kid. I grew up Catholic, not as Catholic as I was when I was growing up. Altar boy, everything. So I'm very aware of Bible verses and stuff like that. I found it, which I never thought about in the past until I was watching this episode, how poetic that the serpent was in the Garden of Eden, and the serpent is the one thing, is the catalyst that changes humanity.
Yeah.
Like the catalyst of bringing what we were to what we are is the serpent. And I was like, wow, that is a strike one poetically for the reptilian agenda.
Yeah.
Toby, don't laugh. I was told at one time that every president in the United States has been a reptilian.
Well, that's true.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know, we did an episode on the Civil War, and Lincoln was in it. You know, he reptilian. We didn't get into his reptile thing.
The reptilian part.
More that he was...
not all of them. They said most of the presidents have been reptilians.
Like
most.
Franklin Pierce.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're also talking about Masons. I don't know. Like, what are we talking about?
It's
Dante. Yeah. You're the one who brought this up.
Is that code word for Masons? I'm asking these people in conversations too.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing, you guys. When I was having a lot of these dragon reptilian conversations, this is pre-Google days. I'm just prefacing, these were pre-Google days. We're just having late night conversations about
passing books around
stuff.
Passing books around.
Although I did read Sapiens. I read the whole book of Sapiens and no discussion of any reptilians in it, but a lot of talk about our evolution and about things that kind of bummed me out to a degree. But then I found some hope in it somewhere. But no talk of reptilians at all.
Because that's probably what bummed you out. the thing that's cool is to think about what if aliens of some kind or ancient astronauts.
Right. Well, Sapiens book just gave our evolution just like we just by chance evolved because not of anything greater. Like we're no, there's actually like we value the things we like, you know, as humans, like oh, we're all this smart and we have all this technology, but there's actually a lot of animals with language, like you said, birds, dogs, animals, and animals are actually a higher skilled level of many other things that humans cannot do. They communicate, smell, there's things that they do that are that we just don't value, but they're like light years ahead of us in other things. But the reason why we evolved the way we evolved ultimately was just we are there's a gossip theory that we're just these gossiping monkeys that were around the watering hole, and our language got so good through gossiping that we, you know, many animals can say, hey, there's a lion at the river. Like there's a lion over there, but we got so good. We can say there's a lion over there last week. Our language got so good through gossiping mainly about each other. Like our humans were very gossipy animals that we were able to create fiction. And once we were able to create fiction, that's the evolution that evolved us beyond other animals, because through fiction, we can actually do things beyond
vision states beyond the current state. Yeah.
Organize beyond just let's eat together, right. Build fire together. All of a sudden,
plan for the future.
Religions and corporations. But at the end of the day, that's all story. And that the thing that bummed me out is everything that we do is just we're these animals that think we're better because we have stories and the storytellers. We're just storytellers. That bummed me out. But the thing that got me through it was it just so happens I am a storyteller. So I guess things could be worse.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. So at the end point.
Yeah.
We got to the end point. That it's it, once again, it comes back to we are the alien.
And that takes us to Vietnam, the largest cave system in the world. The Son Doom Cave, 3 miles.
I did not even know that cave existed.
That thing's huge. Huge cave. There's a fellow,
I wanna go.
Fellow named John Rhodes of the Reptoid Research Center. We got to have him on Sunday.
Was that real?
Yeah, I looked it up. I've got the website right here.
Tell us about John Rhodes. He was obviously very prominent in this episode.
It's funny you ask, Brandon. He's the world's foremost authority on reptilian humanoids. Or as they are sometimes known, reptilian aliens.
Who's the second? I got to be top 10. With him number one, I'm top 10.
Certainly the most outspoken.
It's entirely possible. John's, he has sort of some eccentric capitalization, which I'm not going to try and reproduce here. But John's highly controversial perspectives have provided audiences with an entirely new view into the world of cryptozoology, UFOs, underground bases, which we'll get to, extraterrestrial life, and... .. interterrestrial civilizations.
Interterrestrial, like that's...
He lives in Mariposa Mid-Pines, California.
I believe in that. What? I believe in that. I mean, when I say believe it, I dig that vibe. I didn't know about the caves. There was that movie, the Abyss. Was it The Abyss?
No, that was water. It was called The Descent.
Yeah.
Right?
Was like they were talking about the aliens were actually in the water and stuff like that.
Oh, that's the Abyss. Yeah. Sorry.
That's The Abyss.
I was thinking about the one where they go into caves and then there's like the pale.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know about the cave part, the Abyss part, but I guess that too. I like that the aliens were searching outside the planet, but then all of a sudden they're actually in the planet.
Yeah.
I like that.
We'll figure out why.
He wrote a paper, which I think was unironically titled Probing Deeper into the Dulce Enigma, or Dulce Enigma.
Dulce, the sweet enigma.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's the probing.
That's my aunt's name, Dulce. It
seems very sort of Freudian. Anyways,
what else do we need to know about Rhodes?
What else do you need to know about Rhodes? I don't think there's anything else to know about him. I told you where he lived. His motto is peace through knowledge, compassion, and vigilance.
Well,
and
the fascinating thing is that damn cave. I mean, who doesn't want to go to that cave? I mean, that cave, 3 mile cave. What is it?
Three mile deep cave. 3 mile deep.
I mean, that cave is, I think Disneyland needs to go get that cave and make an amusement park in there or something. That sounds phenomenal.
Thinking about corporations, don't they?
I mean, you got this. Is how this is how you got to think about these things.
No, you don't.
Does no one else?
No, you don't. Of course you don't have to.
Hold on a second. Does nobody... this is the first I've ever heard of this. And I've been to Vietnam. No one told me that this should be the biggest thing in Vietnam. A. B. It should be a wonder of the world. Shouldn't it be? Top... I mean, if not the 7, maybe top 10. I don't know. No one talks about this cave in Vietnam?
Maybe they do. Maybe something they do. Or maybe...
Is this a real cave? Is this a real cave?
Yeah, it's a real cave. We know that the cave is real.
No one knows about this cave. Yeah. Toby, you know about this cave?
I thought, I don't know much about caves. I did read a book about some people who are trying to go into the deepest cave on Earth, which is in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it sounded fucking horrible.
More than 3 miles?
Well, I think it was like went down further. Like I think this one kind of like goes and goes, but this one was like you were descending further and further. But they claimed that it was the biggest one. Anyway, no reptilians in the book.
Have you been in a cave? Have you been in a big cave?
I've been to Carlsbad Caverns.
Yeah, there's this cave in the Philippines you take a canoe into.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It is kind of awesome, and it's one of the natural wonders of the world. I know that. But there's bats in there.
Oh, yeah.
A billion bats in there. And they're like, don't look up.
Oh.
Because the bats are constantly defecating, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes things are dropping on you. Something like, you don't know if it's water or dew or
guano. Bat guano. Yeah.
Whatever.
Or and they said reptile.
Don't look up. Because they said if it gets in your mouth,
yeah,
you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, let it.
Okay, that sounds less awesome.
Yeah.
Not great. And I don't like bats. I mean, and they didn't talk one thing about the bats inside this cave. Those caves are big.
But I will say that in 2014, this cave was voted by the New York Times one of the 52 most attractive tourist destinations in the world.
Oh, really? There you go. Yeah. I think
it's around.
I want to go check it out.
He's been doing stuff.
This is the other thing I found odd about this show. Again, and I'm a reptilian agenda possibilityist. And I didn't ever realize the humanoid reptile man they're talking about. I mean,
walking around up
there. No one ever talks about reptile man. Reptile man?
That's what it's all about. Yeah, this is
Dr. Oct? Dr. Octopus or something?
No,
or what's not?
Lizard man.
Green Goblin.
The
lizard orc.
Yeah.
Lizard.
Well,
lizard.
If you'd gone to the Reptoids Research Center website, there was a sighting in 1988 in Bishopville, South Carolina. A guy stopped to change a flat, heard a noise from a nearby field.
Where?
South Carolina.
In America?
South Carolina.
Reptilians in America?
Yeah.
Technically America.
Saw a 7-foot-tall creature with red glowing eyes running towards him on its two hind legs and grunting as it closed in.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped in the car and sped off. And
I guess with a flat tire.
Large 3-fingered hand with scales and long claws reached over his windshield as he was trying to pry open his driver's side door.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So anyway, yep.
In South Carolina, North Carolina or South Carolina?
Yeah, it's in South Carolina.
Okay, South Carolina.
I like the quote in this part where it says, lizard men or snake people who might be near a cave on the surface just walking around.
There are many stories of people encountering lizard men or snake people who might be in caves or who might be near a cave on the surface just walking around. And those unfortunate enough to stumble across these reptilians are terrified because the reptilians can be very aggressive.
It seemed very casual. Walking around.
I've never heard of snake people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Obviously.
These are
Bigfoot's
aliens.
Super famous. Mm-hmm. He's top 10 guys we haven't found and seen. Sightings. I mean, no one ever talks about lizard man. I would think the reptilian, I would think personally, if we were descendant of some alien reptilian people, that they're a higher form than just like Bigfoot walking around.
Yeah, and why, if they created us, are they relegated to just walking around the cave?
Exactly.
Well, we're going to find out. I guess we'll find out later on.
I'll
tell
you on the Bigfoot tip, Brandon, I did a Bigfoot, Toby, I did a Bigfoot movie one time. A bit, and I don't remember the name of it. My apologies to filmmakers. I don't know. I shot it in Texas, Brandon. I shot it Thorndale, Texas.
That's a good place.
And the whole thing about the Bigfoot, why we can't find him, I was a scientist in the thing, obviously, but it's because, it's because the Bigfoot is like the German Shepherd for the aliens. So they let the Bigfoot out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Then Bigfoot does his thing, grabs people, whatever, and then it's like the dog, and he comes back to the ship.
Oh.
And they take it. That's why we only see the tracks, but we can never see the.
Because he gets sucked up into it.
That's, yeah, because he doesn't live here. He's the dog. He's the dog for the aliens.
That's like shockingly like the $6 Million Man Bigfoot episode.
Huh?
Yeah. The $6 Million Man, Bigfoot was an android who came from a UFO.
Wow. The major $6 Million Man?
Yep.
I just did a Comic-Con with him 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. The Fall Guy, $6 Million Man, and was like, and he's Lee Man. And I did a TV show with him years ago in Hawaii, but we were discussing how nowadays $6 Million Man is a pretty cheap man.
Yeah. That's true.
We're like, what can you do with $6 million? Like, what can that $6 million do?
That's like 3 days in the hospital after you had your appendix.
Exactly. It's like there's some cars that are $6 million men. That's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what is he? What's he doing with? What can you do with $6 million for a man?
What can you do with $6 million?
I mean, what can that man do?
Yeah, there is Ancient Aliens episode Aliens and Robots. We'll have to have you back for Aliens and Robots.
Robots. I mean, I like robots.
Now we're not getting into robots, Dante. We're going to stick with the 7 to 8 foot tall reptilians with the scaly or pebbled skin. It's big.
Yeah, that's big. But the thing is, there's no big reptiles at all on planet Earth.
What?
There are, actually.
What's the biggest reptile there is?
Komodo dragon.
That's it. And that guy's like four feet tall. Like with the tail alligators? Is like 7 feet.
Alligators, crocodiles, they get up
alligators.
To 15,
okay, alligators. Feet. Alligators are the biggest. I think alligators are the biggest, right?
Yeah. Big alligators are the biggest, presumably.
So I guess
boa constrictors, pythons, they get
I mean, they're pretty big, but like alligators are ironically have not evolved since prehistoric days.
Saltwater crocodile can grow up to 23 feet long.
There you go. That's pretty big.
23 feet long. That's a dinosaur.
Way over a ton.
That's pretty big.
That's big. Yeah. I've never. That's in America?
Nah, I think saltwater. They're in like Australia.
Yeah. They got all the stuff over there.
That's.
Now you think about it, though. Why didn't they evolve? This goes back to the question. Why didn't they evolve? Maybe they got to a comfortable place. They're like, why change? Everything's looking up. Turtles, same way. Not reptiles. They got the voice and they're like, you got your ecological niche. You got the thing you like to eat. Some people peel off and they turn into something else. You know, different animals, mammals, whatever, primates. And then some are just like, nah, not for me.
Right, right. But you would think like, you know, a dog might have needed more than he got right now.
We're in human, right? Yeah. We're the reptilians to dogs.
I mean, the dogs are going to talk about us years later about there was these monkey men that came in and they took us out of the food chain and they created this whole different thing.
Ancient Aliens, a show for dogs made by evolved dogs about their ancient, what they would call ancestors, which are humans.
It's a very odd thing. The ancient, why are we obsessed with these aliens?
I don't know. It makes a lot of money for at least one channel. One thing that we have not discussed on the show, but that comes up a lot, is the show is called Ancient Aliens, but they always call them Ancient Astronaut Theorists. So why didn't they call why didn't they call this show Ancient Astronauts, Tubby?
I'm thinking SEO, probably.
Mm. What does that mean?
Search engine optimization.
Yeah. I just think people are looking for aliens. Aliens is more popular.
More than astronauts.
Yeah. But I liked it. I like that title. I think it's a good name for a band.
Ancient Astronaut Theorists.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Like,
what kind of music is it like?
I'd like to see actually some of those guys in a band.
I mean, Easy DJ. Easy DJ. Club. Come on.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Coachella next year.
Easy DJ.
Ancient Astronaut Theorists.
You know.
Yeah. Let's see. Where are we going? Cusco, Peru is where we're going to go next in this episode. Now,
fascinating.
Now, this is 2019. Toby, I want you to weigh in on this because we see a lot of episodes where it's usually just talking heads and then recreations of stuff. Like episode 4 we did was about NASA's secret agenda, not the reptilian agenda, but there was a whole bunch of like, you know, they had to like dress people up as Nazis to do these reenactments. Obviously, in this episode, there's a lot of like CG animations of alien battle, but they don't usually have where they actually go out into the field. In this case, they got to do a field trip to Cuzco, Peru. It was David Childress, who's one of the typical talking heads.
Impressive.
And they went and they looked at, a place called, pre-Incan place called Quilca, which may have belonged to, they said it was made by people, but it was the whole thing where there's these big stones. They're cut so precisely, they don't need mortar. And then there's there's all these other places.
Fascinating.
They're cut, stones are cut so precisely, they don't need mortar. Which could tell you either that the aliens have been everywhere or that it ultimately is not that hard if you've got the time and inclination to cut stones precisely so that you don't need mortar.
It's too long ago to have material to cut those stones that precise.
I don't think that's true.
Maybe.
100%.
Yeah. I think that history has proven that you can cut the stones.
There's no way they could have done that. Yes.
How come they, let's talk budget. How come they were able to shell out for this one so they could send Childress and company around the world to go poke at stone?
What season is this?
This is 14.
14. Dang, 14 seasons. These guys are living. They bought houses and everything.
Oh, yeah. And Childress
is 19 right now, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they're rolling in it. They've got the nice CGI. They're sending people on trips.
Wow, nice CGI.
But they got some actual factual things. Once they got a snake in the wall, got to show that.
Yeah.
They got the snake in the stone wall.
Did you think that looked like a snake or did it just look like a snake?
It didn't, but once they pointed it out, then I could see it. But yeah, I wouldn't go snake immediately, no.
No. Once they colored it red, it was clear.
That's usually how it happens, yeah. Interestingly, we talked about it in Janet's episode, which was our pilot. Janet said, I think it's interesting that, you know, these guys go all over the world, but they never have any locals there to be like, no, this is what this means. This is a case in which Jorge Luis Delgado was their sort of guide. And he, I think, threaded the needle very nice by saying, here's what the stories were without actually buying in. Whereas David Childress was like, are you telling me that actual reptilians crawled out and built these things and so on? And he's like, well, the story is, but he doesn't say, no, that's just a myth. He says, well, the story says that they did come out of these kids.
Childress says at one point, he says, does it have a serpent-like appearance? Mm-hmm. And, you know, his guy is like,
maybe he does. Now, Delgado is, he does tours. He's he's like a shaman tour guy. So he's adjacent to kind of the whole
scheme. He's open.
He can take you to some caves, Dante.
I mean, the first thing is these rocks are ginormous. These rocks, humongous. I mean, how old is this place? Like, how did they get these? Like, it's the same thing with all these rock structures from the pyramids to Stonehenge. Like, how did the ancient people get rocks to these places this big? Let alone cut them with some precision.
Yeah,
how did they get all these dang rocks up here, up this mountain? This is crazy.
Well, we don't know where they carved them out of. But you have to think about, you have a lot of time. People got nothing but time, and you can throw bodies at it. Hundreds of years, maybe. This is 12th century AD, so fairly recently, but before it had been discovered by the West. So, yeah, they were more sophisticated. Okay, so here is the point in the episode where we get back to Dante. What you were saying was, why haven't these people made themselves known, these reptilians that are so sophisticated and apparently have been all over the world, Greece, Australia, all these places? The answer is, well, let me say it another way. The theory is that they were banished from the face of the earth for some reason that we have to figure out. We could take this opportunity to talk to Dante about who he is and what he is all about. Dante, we've been friends for a minute. Through Janet, y'all are fellow voice actors, you know, as probably, I would say, the most well-known actor who's worked with Steven Spielberg.
Maybe, yeah. Right, you know, right up there, yeah. Right up there. Yeah. Who, you know, with his fame and influence, could be reptilian. We don't know.
Oh, yeah, Spielberg could be.
That's a good point.
Yeah, tell us about yourself. Streets of the Bay Area. You're a B-boy.
The Bay Area. B-boy. I was a breakdancer, turned actor, turned writer, turned director, producer. Just, I think one of the things that turn me on to things like this podcast and things like Reptilian Gen is the things that turn you on as an actor is you're just kind of like insatiably inquisitive. The whole job of being an actor is like pretending to be something that you're not. So you got to go talk to people that do what they actually do. So you're always finding out what's so interesting about whatever. Like, what am I playing? You know, a plumber. What's so fascinating about a plumber? And actually, there's so many fascinating things about all these things. But you keep digging down the rabbit hole and you will get to the reptilian agenda sooner or later. And here we are.
You think you will inevitably, but I also, or you're choosing that stuff because you're hanging around with people like Will I Am and other bad influences.
No, but think about it is because also I don't know about the whole actual reptilianness of the reptilian agenda as far as reptile guys walking around here. But the idea that they're, if it's a part of us, that it's also, it's very much the agenda part is fascinating, that not only are they, you know, there's something reptilian or not that's kind of helped kind of like, you know, create us. But now anyone who's famous or influential politically or whatever is now a reptile, or there's a clone of you. The reptiles are cloning you to kind of be a part of their social order of some sort or something. That's always fascinating to me, being around the world of Hollywood and being around celebrities and rich people and stuff, and seeing, you know, there's like weird stuff that goes on. You're like, that's kind of that little reptilian-ness stuff.
You think you're working with, that's right. You're a Hollywood elite.
So I'm not Hollywood elite. I'm on the outside looking at the reptiles walking around.
So how many people, just ballpark, do you think are reptile?
Yeah.
Reptilian, reptoids.
I don't know hopefully I don't know that many. I mean, I might have seen a handful of them. I might have had some.
One name drop?
I would say I've had interactions with like three or four, maybe four or five times of people where I was like, that was a little reptilian, a little bit.
You want a name drop? Say who?
I don't want to name drop none of these people because the reptilians know what's up.
All right. Yeah, how about you? Toby's going to guess a couple. And if he's right, Dante, you have to say, Toby, throw some names out. Let's start with popular.
Like Richard Dreyfuss?
Richard Dreyfuss, good person.
Richard, I'm a fan of Richard Dreyfuss, but he might have got a little reptilian lately, didn't he? I don't know.
Certainly, yeah.
Do I have to go with Daniel Day-Lewis?
No.
Oh, he's a chameleon of sorts, isn't he?
Yeah.
I've never met him. I'm one of his biggest fans. I think he's one of the greatest actors of all time. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of other guys who just kind of strike me as being possibilities, who you may have run into at some point. How about Axl Rose?
Mm-hmm.
Have not ran into Axl Rose, but definitely could be a reptile, I think.
There's no other way to explain it.
There's no other way to explain
drugs.
It.
Drugs. And raw talent.
Reptilians like drugs.
This is the other weird thing. There's a thing that I've seen with people where you can hit a certain fame. You know, there's a thing. I mean, again, I'm talking broad strokes, but I'm talking also in very minuscule things. That there, you know, there's a certain amount of fame and notoriety that gets to people. And you know, say people, it changes you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people do. And that doesn't change everybody.
Right.
Some people, something changes. Something eerily changes sometimes, and it gets a little, what happened? People you may know pretty well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Things go, you go, well, and it's a very, it's a fascinating, I'm talking about reptilian people that someone calls me.
One of the reptiles?
Saying, like, yeah. Hey, man, you talking about us?
This might be getting too close.
That guy was a music producer guy. He was a music producer dude.
What about Meghan Markle?
Not tuned in.
Yeah. Well, think about this. The Incas, right? You say, how did they cut those stones?
Yes.
So a lot of research done in what's called experimental archaeology, which people are like, can we make this stuff? And it turns out they tried, and they were able to fashion tools and cut the stones just that sharply, and then move them around. You know.
They were.
They have nodes protruding from them that allow you to grip them and move them. Well, they were using Bronze Age tools, you know, hard stones and bronze tools, and then they move the rough stones to where they want, and then once they get them in place, then you just hew them to the exact dimensions you want. It's not like anything was cut perfectly before. It was like, no, they get it basically, and then they move the pulleys and things. Said it didn't take as long as you thought. Said it would take, let's see, it says here, could have taken many months to produce a single wall. Many months.
Months?
But they did it.
Months?
Yeah, that's nothing.
Nothing. We could do that, three of us.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. It depends on when these were built. But also how big were those? Those are looking pretty big, those stones. Who's transporting those stones? We had horses.
No, it's pulleys.
Well, there was another conversation. Toby, there was another conversation I had offline with Brandon over a night of drinks. There's this people called the Torturians, the giants.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the giants? And they were not aliens, but they were just here being giants, moving big round, big stones around.
It was, you know, the whole idea that there were these big people that all the... Yeah. I'm sure we'll find a giants episode.
I'm reading The Wager right now by David Graham about... And that was a thing that they thought was going on in Tierra del Fuego down in Argentina. Like when people would go around the Cape, like they thought there was this race of giants that was, you know, like
the Turturians.
Yeah, just Turturians. Carrying around big rocks and stuff.
Everything got buried by mud, I think, was their whole thing.
There's a mud world too. I mean, I've gone deep diving some of these things, but I digress.
Yeah.
The other thing that's very odd the one thing that got me into Reptilian Agenda years ago was this talk of the Blue Bloods. You know, the Blue Bloods.
You mean like elite people?
The elite people, right? So being a blue collar person,
mm-hmm.
you always look at the Blue Bloods as like, okay, well, I know what the Blue Bloods are, the Blue Bloods, right? And then people were like, we were talking, well, what do you think the Blue Bloods are? Like, well, they're the elite people, but where does the blue blood come from? That's what part of the reptilian thing happened also. It's like, oh, they're the ones that are more descendant of the reptilians, right. The blue bloods.
So reptiles have red blood.
Yeah, but they call them the blue bloods.
It would make more sense if it was horseshoe crabs. They have blue blood.
They have blue blood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. We use them for important medicines. That's true.
There's some science.
Look it up.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So
we don't need science.
Evidence of cataclysm is what they were saying. There's these upside down stairs. It's this place.
Yeah.
In Peru. They looked at a place in Scotland, said, oh, it got burned by something. So they start to build.
They start losing me.
Yeah.
They start losing me at this.
Oh, well, now you start to get squeamish when they start saying all of this stuff is evidence of a great cataclysm. What is the cataclysm? Well, as we said at the beginning of the episode, what happens when you have more than one kind of alien? Aliens may be evolved in all of these ways. They have all this technology. Right. But you know what? At the end of the day, when you have two different kinds of intelligences get together, sometimes they're going to fight. They're fighting over the greatest resource in the universe.
Human DNA.
And the result was all of these ruins got
blasted by space lasers.
I did like that one artifact of that one god that was a serpent, and they had like the ribbon on top of it, and it like looked like it could be DNA.
The DNA thing. Mm-hmm. I think that was Inky.
That was cool. I mean, it might have been far reaching, but it was pretty cool.
That was Inky.
Yeah, they said the Sumerians knew the secrets of human DNA. Unlikely.
Which is amazing, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I still don't really understand DNA, the secrets of it today.
Nobody knows.
Nobody does.
I've seen that chart. I've seen that. I've seen it in the class many times. I still can't really tell you. And they had it on. They knew it back then. The Sumerians.
That's what ancient astronaut theorists think.
Yeah.
I mean.
And if so, who's to say that something? All right.
Something.
I mean, we don't know.
So why haven't they made their presence known? We think there was this cataclysm. Well, these guys got into fights. Okay. Also, you know, when you walk around in the caves, when you get a field trip from A&E, the producer of Ancient Aliens, you get to wear your best Indiana Jones looking gear and point down tunnels and say, did they come out of this passage or that one?
Right.
You're saying spirits. But is it people?
My problem with that is if there was an intergalactic war on our soil, there'd be some remnants of technology. We have no technology. We've had no technology. These people had to be flying in, propelling themselves from planet to planet. I mean, there's no, you know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe it was all biodegradable. They were just really advanced.
I mean, biodegradable.
Toby likes to eat, like, you know, Toby composts and all that kind of stuff out there in East Coast. You know. And that's pretty advanced. Imagine making a whole spaceship that, you know, if it crashes or whatever, it just eventually breaks down. And
I don't compost my car.
Well, no.
You can't compost a car. That's what I'm saying. They'd have to have elements that were so beyond this world to travel intergalactically that there had to be some remnant of something. That's why I like interterrestrial aliens.
Yeah, I'm in the
Earth. Ones that come from out of the hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth or just... Yeah. But I got hit with another thing recently. So I was at this one Comic-Con, like the Lee Majors Comic-Con,
mm-hmm.
and the Uber driver, it was in Denver or at Colorado Springs, and he laid on me all this metaphysical stuff. I don't know. He just...
They've had that driver before.
He knew I understood certain things. And then Toby, don't laugh.
Toby, do laugh.
And
Toby,
then
he's
excited about where this is going.
He said, I have to get ready because in 2 years it's going to happen. And like, he's like, you're going to have to be a part of the whole thing. And I'm like, okay. Well, I'll tell you how he thought I was. I'll tell you what happened. He said something to me, and there was another guy in the car, and he was talking about something. He was reading The Art of War. I was like, okay. And then he said, what do you think of it? He asked me about a past life, what I thought about. You know, how we feel about past lives. And I just looked at him. I said, well, I believe in past life, but not really past lives. I believe that all lives are going on at the same time. It's just different dimensions, and we're just skipping around. You can call it past life, but it's really all time is happening at the same time. We're just a needle on the record, playing the record. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he goes, how do you know that? I was like, I don't know that. I just telling you something I thought. And he goes, you know, and then he goes on a 30-minute diatribe about all this stuff. But what he said was, which was interesting, I didn't think about, is he's like, you got to get yourself back to whatever spaces of my health and youth, whatever things I got to work on myself to get back to certain things so I can see things at different frequencies, because you're not seeing everything you need to see because you can only experience certain things at different frequencies. So maybe these other alien people are existing, at least visually, in different frequencies that we can't anticipate or, you know,
receive.
So you've got to,
what you think, Toby?
Well, you got to read The Eighth Tower by John Keel, which is...
Oh, The Eighth Tower. Yeah, I've heard of this book.
Yeah, it's about exactly that. But it, like... tries to put it in like historical terms, right? But it's the exact same thing. It's like we can't see them because they're vibrating at a different
frequency
that we can't perceive. But then every once in a while, like they'll show itself, and then the form it takes is kind of what we're expecting it to look like. So that's why it's constantly like changing, like over the centuries and stuff.
Huh.
It reacts to like your preconceptions about what something like supernatural is going to look. Yeah, I think it's called The Eighth Tower. John Keel. He wrote the Mothman book.
Mothman.
I could dig it.
Yeah,
I could dig it.
I gave it to my son who freaking loved it.
I don't know. I could dig. My thing is like I'm always the realm. Of possibility, it's within the realm of possibility in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's true. It's within the realm of possibility.
So the pre-Adamic war, let's get to that a little bit. Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzedok, the founder of the Kosher Torah school. Interesting. I don't know that we've seen a lot of rabbis in the show yet, but he...
Nope.
I was impressed with the rabbi being
out of the gates.
A part of the...
Yeah, he was like, what are you...
telling
the
agenda conversation.
Yeah, what do you think about this guy? He says, you know, maybe Adam and Eve weren't the first ones. There was some suggestion that there was somebody there before, and what we were seeing in the beginning of the book of Genesis is really just the end of this big conflict. Yeah, war between reptilians and humans. Humans presumably won, but the reptilians.
How did humans win?
Did we?
How did humans win? We didn't even.
We forced them underground.
How did humans win?
We didn't win. They're just biding their time.
There's no way humans can win if we have no technology. We have no memory of it. If we won a major war back in those days, we would know of it. One thing humans like to do is talk about themselves, about how great of stuff they've done.
Fight war.
So, yeah, like war. So. That tale would have been toned many times. And I did dig the Jewish guy doing it and going to the text in Bible and in the Torah, I assume. But I was also a little was like, are you telling, are you trying to take this as factual? Are you looking at the Bible and trying to go historical in this Bible book right now? That's concerning me.
I think there's something about the show, Ancient Aliens. When you think about the audience, right? It's History Channel. It tends to be, right, you know, people who may be not more conservative necessarily, although maybe more conservative, but they definitely tread a fine line between out and out saying, you know, Christianity is a myth and Jesus is not a real thing. And they sort of get to have it both ways, say, oh, it's possible that he was a very powerful being. He just might have been from space. You know, so I think there's
I love the thing how he brought in like all of these religions, including Jesus, is like he's the alien.
Everybody had a messiah.
The messiah is the alien that we're always waiting and come back. I love that. I was like that. I'm hip to that. That's the whole that's our in our DNA of the alien coming back to get us is the messiah in every story of that they are coming back. Whether it be reptilian or not. I mean, Jesus is a freaking ancient astronaut theorist himself. I mean, the guy, you know what I'm saying?
Toby?
I guess.
That makes sense. Toby, do you think Jesus was an ancient astronaut theorist?
By all means.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it.
By all definitions. Right?
I mean, I'm not a...
You had theories about...
Yeah. Gods. Sky gods.
Yeah.
I mean, he would... Yeah. He would fit in.
Yeah.
He's definitely an ancient astronaut theorist. I mean... God, that'd be, he'd be the lead singer of the band.
Ancient astronaut theorist.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Open in Coachella.
Okay. Sure. Of course.
Yeah, I love the whole concept, like him, like all the people are like, there's someone that came and changed us as a society, as a people, and then they're gone and we're waiting for them to come back. That's ancient astronaut. That's it. That's all the story. It's the same story over and over again, in different shells. That's it. It's fascinating. Again, I grew up Catholic. I know these stories pretty well. I was always a little confused by it a lot. I was like, if he's the son of God and I'm the son of God, what's the difference? Are we both the son of God? What's happening?
That's how you became a celebrity. Went into Hollywood and you said, who believes? Who can take on different personalities?
What, Toby, what if someone revealed themselves as an alien, as a reptile to you, like all of it? And I asked to this psychic, like, what do you mean? It's like, they shed their skin. Just like, yeah, she shed her skin and then she was just a reptile in front of her, a reptile being. And I was like, that would freak me out. She's like, I was freaked out. I was totally freaked out.
Yeah, it seems like a like life-changing level experience.
I mean, say that in a more excited way. To be like, yeah, life-changing.
Well, I was trying to say it in sort of a contemplative, like taking it seriously kind of way. Yeah, I think that
you couldn't tell anybody. You couldn't tell anybody.
It would freak me out. Oh yeah, no, you can't tell anybody. You'll get locked up. There's a guy. I didn't know him, but worked at the university I worked at. I think he was in oceanography, but he was 100% like that was his other interest besides oceanography was reptilians. Thought there were reptilians among us.
This is the other thing that they didn't talk about reptilian gender. What I was told back in the day is that. We're not all reptilians. We're not all reptiles.
We get into that at the end. There's some who are and some who are not.
There's some who are and some who, and who, which one are the lucky ones?
The answer to that may be at the 27th Annual International UFO Congress in the year 2018 in Scottsdale, Arizona, where our program has taken us, which presumably is something that is at least partially sponsored by A&E, and where, as the show tells us, it's a place to share the latest developments in the field.
There were a lot of people there, too. There were a lot of people.
Very popular. That's where the show introduces us, finally, to the idea of the different races. We talked about earlier, Nordic,
yep.
Reptilian, and then the Greys, which, incredibly, Toby and I have not actually done an episode about yet.
The time will come.
Time will come.
There seem to be three categories of organic alien beings that have been interacting with humanity. You have your reptilian types, you have what we describe as the Nordics, and then you have the Greys. These types of descriptions appear over and over again in various mythic and historical traditions.
The Greys?
They're,
are they?
Well, in
yeah,
the
they're
story
sort of 1960 sort of started
sci-fi.
Off.
Sci-fi. They're sci-fi, right?
Yeah, well, it's Betty and Barney Hill.
Kobe did a whole podcast about it.
Yeah, I did.
Benny Hill?
Yeah,
Benny Hill, the comedian?
Benny Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yakety Sax.
Awesome if true.
You can imagine the UFOs flying around with Yakety Sax.
Yeah.
UFOs.
Not that Benny Hill.
No, Barney. Barney, like the purple dinosaur. Yeah, no, it's a couple from just down the road from me who thought they got abducted by aliens in the mountains of New Hampshire. It's the first big alien abduction story, and sort of the seeds of like their story is what it's like everybody now thinks of as alien abductions, like pulled from their car in the middle of the night and strange like medical exams and all that stuff.
That's fascinating. I mean, look, in my culture, being Filipino and hanging out with old Filipino people and going back to the homeland, there was not aliens. It was always spirits. It was always people visiting that were, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It could be an alien story too, but it's all the same thing. And people getting, I mean, I've seen people possessed and thing. I've seen some things happen, you know, metaphysical things. And again, that could be attributed to ghosts or alien life. I think they could be synonymous, right? We just maybe in the 60s, you know, pushed it up to more sci-fi level than just a religious level.
Would it interest you to know that Betty and Barney Hill were a mixed race couple? Barney was black, Betty was white in the 60s. Interesting phenomenon. Relevant?
That's amazing. I think that's cool. And I also think they're from the future. They're from the future. Mm-hmm.
Toby did an entire podcast about them called Strange Arrivals. Check it out wherever you purchase or rent or just listen to podcasts.
I want to hear that. That sounds fascinating. Yeah. Now, when they were abducted, did they time travel or they just came back here?
They weren't taken anywhere. They were just taken on the ship.
Okay. That's somewhere.
They had some missing time.
Some time was missing.
Yeah. So they thought that time was them, like, on the ship. So it what happened is 2.5 years after the event, they both got hypnotized because Barney, the husband, was having these like PTSD issues, basically. Okay. So they went and got hypnotherapy, and then they both separately recalled this abduction episode that happened. And then that ended up like sort of the transcripts got leaked and it got put in the paper, and then suddenly they became celebrities.
And they were the Grays.
And it was the Grays. They've actually, they described them. She actually had a woman make a like a bust, like a plaster bust of what she remembered them looking like, which they've got at the University of New Hampshire Library, which I've seen a bunch of times. And it looks like, it looks sort of like a somewhere in between like a person and a gray. Like it's like gotten exaggerated as time's gone on, but big eyes, gray skin, little mouth, no nose.
Yeah.
They weren't described before that, but after that,
they're all over the place.
The abduction narrative became a common one. Grays became a common thing.
Did she copyright it? Can she?
No, but she was
monetize
like
monetize this.
She was really into. She monetized it to an extent. Like she was big on the UFO circuit, as you can imagine, and she also was really big about being able to tell people whether they had actually been abducted by UFOs or whether they hadn't. Like she was kind of the expert on that. In her mind,
she was an expert on telling other people if they had actually been abducted by a UFO.
She could hear their stories and be like, "Yeah, that's mistaken.
This is great."
And other times she was like, "Yeah, no, 100%, that was what happened."
I love that.
Yeah,
she created her own job. She said, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go out there in the world and you create your own job.
That's the lesson.
That maybe no one else could do. She did it.
She did. Yep. She had been a social worker.
That's what they teach you at Harvard, supposedly. They teach you how to create your own job at Harvard, and that's what she did.
After fashion.
And then she became a social worker?
No, she had been a social worker. And
didn't need to do that shit anymore after you're an alien expert.
Civil rights activist.
I mean, the whole thing goes, if there were actually aliens, why wouldn't we have any evidence at all, right?
Well, that's what they, you know, and this is going pretty far afield, but, you know, guys like John Mack and some of the other people who are like take it super seriously and are also pretty smart, like they always kind of come down to it's got to be some kind of interdimensional thing, because otherwise there would definitely be evidence. So,
or biodegradable ships. Why does no one care about this?
If we believe that people are being abducted and seeing stuff,
yeah,
but there's never any evidence at all.
Yeah. If you're if we're interdimensional, like I was saying, then it's different. We're on a different playing field. It's like there's no spaceships. There's no nothing. It's just people can jump.
Yeah.
People can jump.
But it's like, you know
what I'm saying? It's energetic. It's energetic and frequencies. If you could do that, then that's a whole nother thing.
But that's getting kind of like, that's when you get kind of metaphysical and spiritual, right? Because you can't, there's like no science. Yeah. You can't like prove it. You can't do experiments to see if it's true.
Science stopped the millions and millions and billions of people that follow whatever religion?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
The science has gone out the window and all that. And it's bigger than friggin', you know, Coca-Cola, and continues to be. So it's like, we got to throw science out or whatever. Or maybe we are gullible or prone to just want
to believe it.
Whatever. What are we prone to? Gossiping and believing in things that we can't explain. It's fine. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, you read Sapiens, right? Sapiens is a very science-based, history-based book. And you said, It bummed me out because it didn't have like great asides on intergalactic battles between, you know, chandeliers or whatever the thing was depicting.
But it also made us less special than we are. Yeah. It made us less special than we like to think of ourselves to be. Like, even the fact that we're this special DNA from the aliens that they made us, and we're like this, you know what I'm saying? Sapiens was like, hey man, we just evolved this time because this and that, and we're gonna run our course in maybe a million years, maybe 10, maybe 5 million years, and then we're just gonna die out, and civilizations have gone, probably on this planet Earth, civilizations have been regurgitated time and time again, maybe in other planets throughout the galaxy. We just don't have enough time to reach each other or whatever. But it is what it is. We're not so special. We could just be these monkeys that talked, that were, had a bigger ego than other animals, and just kind of stayed. You know what I'm saying? That might have just evolved us for the time it evolved us, until we, which we look now, we may self-destruct ourselves, and then then it starts all over again. And you go, wow, that's just it. That's it. That's all it is. We're not special. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's what bummed me out.
Yeah, I think that a lot of this show is about finding something that makes the viewer feel special. Not just historically, like, oh, we come from something profound, whether it's about war or some kind of thing. There is a plan. And then also the idea that the viewer themselves feel special in their own life because they're a part of this specialized knowledge. So like they're participating in this greater understanding, in this learning about this thing. So it sort of works on two levels that you feel special. But I do think that you're right that the driving force of this is about finding out what makes us special. And you know, you tune in, you tune in. Twists and turns.
I mean, the whole thing that keeps us going is we're special, right? As a whole species, and then as all the way to just you as a person, that's the whole thing that kind of keeps us moving forward.
So, but you're plugged into more UFO-related folks than anybody. What do you think is their driving force?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's all over the place. I think there are definitely some people who, you know, just like the idea that there's secret knowledge. Like, I think there's sort of a new agey type aspect to it for a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, I think it is. It's, you know, it's sort of a search for meaning, I think, for most people's parts. And then there's people such as myself who are just like, oh, it was really cool when I was 8 years old and I never really grew out of it. I don't have like a big like philosophical like need to believe or not believe, but it's always, for whatever reason, you know, since I was like a boy, it's always seemed kind of cool. And then it's like, as I've gotten older, sort of my perspective on it has changed quite a bit, but sort of the basic thing that there's sort of this mythology or whatever that's developed around UFOs coming. And like, I think I've said this before, but when I watch this, just, it seems like this incredible sort of co-created alternative history, right? That if you don't take it as being like, these guys think this is actually factual, but if you look at it as being like this really kind of like it's not really absurdist, but sort of weird, like alternative history where all this shit that actually was done by people, like if it was actually done by aliens, like what does that all mean? That to me is interesting and entertaining. And like, why is that? Why does it grab so many people who I do not think would watch an hour long show about Sumerian gods if it wasn't tied to aliens, right? I mean, it's so I think there's just a lot of kind of interesting aspects to it. But yeah, the believers, there was just the Exeter UFO con just happened this past weekend. So I got to look at a lot of it, including people in full alien body suits.
I love it.
A lot of kids, a lot of people in tie-dyed alien shirts. Mm-hmm. Saw a guy with an Ancient Aliens live concert tee. Mm-hmm. That was pretty sweet.
What about the fact that the concept of like maybe the government or NASA is going to release the files on what they actually know? Is that real, Toby, or no?
Do I think it's real that they're going to actually do it? I don't think they
The fact that they have something.
I don't think they have anything.
They have nothing?
I think there's probably stuff that they don't, they never like got a handle on what it was. But, you know, whenever it's like, you know, disclosure is going to happen, all this stuff. Like literally like the last time there's like all this build up and I actually had a season of Strange Arrivals was going to end like right about the time it came out. I was like, this is going to be fucking awesome. Like this thing's going to come out. That season was about like how sort of the UFO mythology had kind of gotten built up. I was like, it's going to be so fucking cool that it's all going to come together. And then they like put out this 9-page thing that was just like, you know, we don't know anything. And it was like clearly just like, okay, they said we had to do it. So here's this.
And they put out something.
Here's this thing. And you can do with it what you will. And it was just like, wah, wah, and that was it.
This is why the guy was telling me in the car, like, you know, dude, you have it. You need to go back and get back. I'm like, I don't know, man. He's like, get ready for the war. It's coming in 2 years. Yeah. You're going to be a part of it. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be a part of it. Toby, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
You know,
aliens, I think, are involved. I think it's all involved. All of it together is all together. Same
thing. You know where a lot of that's happening? Dulce, New Mexico. You like how I just transitioned back?
That's an excellent segue.
Thank you. It is, Toby, correct me if I'm wrong, sort of core to the reptilian story, or at least to the alien story. The Ancient Aliens episode has been talking about, okay, the reptilians have been here for a long time. Something happened and they went underground, or they were always underground. It's not really clear, but the threat is they're eventually going to come back up.
Right.
And so offered as evidence is this base, Dulce base. We still can't figure out how to pronounce it in New Mexico, but it's an Air Force
Dulce.
Base. Dulce. This sweet base.
According to government insiders, located nearly 2 miles beneath the surface, is indeed a secret subterranean military base known as the Dulce Air Force Base. The base is rumored to extend 7 levels underground, with the lowest levels occupied by extraterrestrial species.
The bottom levels are occupied by aliens. Let me just throw that out. My question is, if you are in an underground base, is the bottom floor like the penthouse, or is the top floor like the penthouse? Because it made it seem like the bottom floor for an underground base would be the penthouse, whereas above ground, it's the reverse. That was the real mystery.
I'd like to be on the top floor.
Yeah.
Unless you're a reptile.
Then you want to be further down. The penthouse is underground.
Further down. It's cooler. Yeah.
So government insiders, they say, revealed that there were these aliens that were down there, grays and reptiles. They tell us the story of this fella.
This is in New Mexico?
Yeah, this is New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the story of Paul Schneider, a contractor for the government who built underground bases, supposedly. And in 1995, he goes and gives this talk. There's a con or something. It's not entirely clear. There they are excavating, and I think they must have knocked down a wall or knocked a hole in the wall. And as they describe it, they surprised some aliens. who apparently hadn't heard the construction noise going on. Maybe they were sound sleepers, and that precipitated a tremendous battle between human and alien in which 66, no more, no less, soldiers, black berets, and others were killed in the battle. And then somehow, yada, 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 it was resolved, and it didn't end up escalating into a larger war. I guess the aliens are still down there, but that is the famous battle of Dulce Base, human versus alien. And supposedly, so the episode tells us, this is evidence that we have a relationship by our government with the aliens. And that then leads to, I guess, what you would call the big reveal of the episode. They might be among us. They might look like us. Perhaps they're wearing skin. Perhaps you can see their eyes flicker on TikTok and look like reptile eyes for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But they're among us, which
they may be.
Yeah. Which is the plot of a TV show from the 80s called V. You remember V?
Right.
V.
Yeah.
Yep.
Scary.
I remember V.
Faces came
v
off.
V was intense.
Yeah. And then they remade it.
She was ripping off the mask. V was, I was too young to watch the whole thing. They peeled the skin off. They're like, they all look the same.
Yeah.
They have the same mask. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
So did you watch V?
I did not. What was that, the 90s?
No, it was the
80s.
It was the 80s? Yeah, like I was in college, I bet. Yeah.
The 80s. I remember I watched some of it. I didn't get into all of it, you know. My mom was more into, like, Thornbirds and, like, Shogun and stuff like, you know, this Richard Chamberlain miniseries. I didn't get to watch the other ones as much.
Yeah, I don't think I watched a whole lot of network TV when I was in college.
That's how it happens. Cycle of life.
So the V is reptilian agenda, huh? V is reptilian agenda.
Yeah.
It's almost like that's where got it.
What do you mean?
That's where people today got the idea.
Or maybe the writers got it from the reptilian agenda book.
Chicken or the egg.
I mean, you know, I tell you, I'm looking at this presidential race. I can see reptilianness in both sides of this.
Yeah, it's true. Choose your favorite.
I'm just saying.
Reptile.
You think J.D. Vance is a reptilian?
Look at all of them and think reptile for a second, and you could see it. So, I'm telling you, I'm being on both sides of the fence here. Reptilian stuff is all over the place. It's running rampant. Whether they're aliens or not, Toby, I don't know.
You just know they're reptilians.
I just know they're reptilians. Yeah. I mean, because the thing about it is, if it's really a reptilian agenda, they don't have to be aliens.
That's right.
Because we actually have reptiles here.
Right.
They could just be reptiles here. Like, I mean, like,
anything.
They don't have to be aliens. There's like, you talk to reptile man, like, I'm not an alien, dude. I've been here for long. We've been here longer than you.
Well, that's what
my bad.
That's what the guy from the Reptoid Research Center said, is that they just may be, you know, subterranean species.
They're living in that kick-ass cave in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Did you watch that movie, Enemy Mine?
Yeah.
No.
That's a good movie.
Great movie.
Really good stuff.
You should see that movie, Toby. Mm-hmm. The aliens get a human and a reptilian alien getting stuck on a planet together.
Yeah.
And it's a drama and it's beautiful and made me cry.
There's a Star Trek episode that's like that too. With Captain Kirk is stuck with a reptoid creature.
Yeah.
The Gorn.
Yeah. And then let's see, the episode wraps up weirdly in London, 2008. A girl is visited in her bedroom by a reptilian alien who takes her up under a ship. This is where the show gets a little bit horny. They all like touch her. And then as she describes it, she turns into a reptile, grows a tail. And we don't know what
happens. That's part of the reptilian agenda too, is they can, I don't know if it's they're cloning people or they can make you a reptile or they can clone you.
Or are you a reptile? Something. And you just don't know it, and then they reveal that to you.
This is the other thing is, like, with fame and power, this is a thing for us to go, when we don't have it, we think the ones that got it must be reptilian. Yeah. Must have something I don't have. They must be.
Well, it's,
you know what I'm saying?
It's they live.
They must have reptilian in them, and I didn't get it because I don't have the reptilian in me.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have enough reptilian in me.
To be a reptile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
We've all got some.
Like Taylor Swift must be like reptile, like 10th degree to the 100th power.
There you go. I like this. There's one. I mean, you did name drop.
There's video. There's videos on Taylor Swift with the reptile eye. I am exhausted.
We took it all the way down to the bottom level, the
penthouse level of understanding of this thing. Dante.
I hope you guys learned something about something.
You may have forgotten something.
Did I give you any new angles, Toby? Toby, did I give you any new angles or shading at all?
Oh,
reptilian agenda.
So many new angles.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's a record player thing.
Dante, tell us where people can find you and what cool stuff you're up to currently.
I mean, you can follow me. You can follow me on the interwebs and the socials at Dante Bosco. On TikTok at Rufio Zuko, and you could check out my directorial debut film, The Fabulous Filipino Brothers. You can rent it on Apple TV, Amazon Prime. You can of course hear my voice on Avatar: The Last Airbender and my podcast Braving the Elements with Janet Varney.
All of you wonderful people, some of you possibly reptile. We'll get to the bottom of it yet, but for now, this has been More Like Ancient Failings. I'm Brandon R. Reynolds.
I'm Toby Ball.
I'm Dante Bosco, and it's the year of the dragon right now. So, hey, well, what are we talking about?
There you go.
More Like Ancient Failings is produced by Heather Eagle Ears Wilson, and our theme song is by Nathan Reedy.
Next time, is the Earth hollow? And if so, who lives inside? Did early Native Americans live underground with ant men? Is there an underground alien library in Ecuador? We are talking about Underground Aliens. That's Season 2, Episode 4. See you next week.